The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But Jesus said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" Jesus said to the crowd, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then Jesus told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." And he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones. There I will store all my grain and my goods, and I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.'" God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be?" So it is for those who store up treasures for themselves but are not rich toward God. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. These are tough readings. It's almost as though Katie knew she was going to be gone and leave them to me, if I can do them justice. Today's Gospel, Jesus tells a story that sounds like the American dream. Boy grows up, works hard, does well, makes shrewd investments and business decisions, socks it away to live happily ever after. Surprise, he dies early. Wasn't counting on that. Never really lived long enough to enjoy it all. But here comes the really sad part. Because upon his death, while everyone else is eulogizing him for being such a hard worker, good provider, dependable neighbor, God speaks his own brief two-word judgment over the man, the life he has made for himself. God says, "You fool." You imagine that? This is God's pronouncement over a solid, decent, hardworking. Here we thought that there could be only one of two judgments made over us by God. Either, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," or, "Depart from me, you evildoers." You can understand those verdicts, but imagine God saying instead simply, "You fool." And yet, this is God's pronouncement over those of us who succeed in living trivial, meaningless lives. Actually, nobody's life is meaningless. The problem is that many of us infuse our lives with the wrong meaning, like the man in our text. And it's easy to do that. When I was a young campus pastor, many years ago, the campus of DePauw University in Indiana, I was called by a family out of town to visit their daughter in the psychiatric unit of our local hospital after her suicide. During our conversations, she told me what had led her to such despair. She said, "I was always a really good student. And my parents expected me to be the very best so that I could get into a good university and study hard and get good grades and graduate and get a good job and earn a lot of money so I could settle down and buy a big house and get married and be happy just like them. Except they're not very happy at all. She realized during our conversations she needed something more important, something more meaningful to live for. She needed that. Otherwise, so many folks end up singing the song, "Is that all there is?" The farmer in Jesus' parable certainly didn't seem foolish. He was blessed with a bumper crop. He thought ahead. He decided he needed bigger barns. That's reasonable. What a nice problem to have. This would provide his retirement income as well. He wouldn't have to rely on others. He was self-sufficient. What could be so bad about that? Sure, he was the envy of the community. Reminded me a lot of a poem I remembered from high school. Richard Corey by Edwin Arlington Robinson, who wrote, "Whenever Richard Corey went downtown, we people on the pavement looked at him. He was a gentleman, from soul to crown, clean shaven, imperially slim. And he was rich, yes, richer than a king, and admirably schooled in every grace. In fine, we thought that he was everything to make us wish that we were in his place. So on we worked, waited for the light, went without the meat, cursed the bread. Richard Corey went home summer night, went home and put a bullet through his." Obviously, something was wrong. Richard Corey's life, too. Something missing. He was not to be envied, after all. And neither was the man in Jesus' parable. Yet despite his obvious wealth and success, even happiness, he was a fool. Why? Jesus explains, so it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich towards God. Before telling the parable, he said, "Take heed, be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possession." That's about as direct a challenge to many people's understanding of the purpose of life as we're ever likely to hear. Jesus himself. But even a wise person would figure that out. Like the co-ed I visited in the hospital, or the man in Poe, or Solomon, who we heard from in today's first reading, who asked for the gift of wisdom and was known as the wisest person who ever lived. He's the one who obviously wrote Ecclesiastes, which today's depressing first lesson is vanity of vanities, all of vanity, says the teacher. Any empty, pointless, the depressing lessons. Solomon must have seen it coming, because upon his death, when he had said, "Who knows when you die, who will receive everything though is yours, what he may do with it, whether that will be a wise person or a foolish person." Solomon died. His son became king over Israel. His leadership led to a civil war which split Israel into two kingdoms forever, the north and the south. He never recovered from that schism. Solomon knew everything you've worked so hard for your whole life could be gone overnight. Well, especially the material possessions. as some of us know, who have been through hurricanes or fire. Jesus says, so it is for those who store up treasures for themselves and are not rich towards God. That's a fascinating expression. Rich towards God. What does that mean? It sounds like something we'd like to be, something which would give direction and purpose. But what do you suppose it means? Well, we normally think that to be rich towards God would probably mean to be very pious, very devout, saintly, as commonly understood, someone who has built up an impressive resume of devotion and charitable works. Mother Teresa type, is that what it means to be rich towards God? Be somehow deserving of his love and favor? Absolutely not. We just said in Psalm 49, we can never ransom ourselves or deliver to God the price of our life. For the ransom of our life is so great that we should never have enough to pay for it in order to live forever. No. Don't become spiritually rich towards God by our efforts. Rather, we are made rich by him. This is the great reversal of fortune which takes place for all who believe in Christ, who says, blessed are the poor in spirit, those who know how spiritually impoverished they really are, how needy and beggars they are before God. Blessed be those, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Here's the great reversal as Paul describes it to the Corinthians. He says, you know the generous act of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes, he became poor so that by his poverty, you might become rich. Or here's how he spells it out in his letter to the Ephesians. God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. The grace you have been saved. Raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in ages to come he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace, his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. It is not your own doing, it is the gift of God. For we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus, prepared through good works which God has prepared beforehand to be our way of life. What a far cry that is. Solomon's dismal vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Just portrayed this portrayal of life without meaning, without purpose, without Christ. That's not the life God has given to us. He sent his son to redeem us, set us back on track. He has made us rich towards God. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.